We were so moved when we were on vacation, just have been so moved, but as we were able to unplug and decompress a little bit, and we just had podcast after podcast going that we don't always have chances to listen to, and so cruising down the Wisconsin roads, and we got to take a dip in Lake Michigan. If you've never been in Lake Michigan or any of the lakes, Great Lakes, it's not like Pickerel Lake. It's cold. We did that one night for just a little bit, but as we were relaxing and just listening to people talk about what God is doing, our hearts were so stirred. There was a lot of tears shed on the Wisconsin roads, and we just want to see it. We want to see it continue. We want to see it here. We want to be a part of it. I don't want to just read books about it. I don't want to just listen to podcasts about it. I want to be a part of what God's doing. And John Tyson is famous for saying, and it sounds mean, he doesn't mean it mean. He's talking about the hunger of the Lord. And he said, God will bypass 99 apathetic churches to find one that's hungry. And he'll show up there. That's why we're always talking about it. You guys sound like a broken record. It's because that's the only story we've got. Keep being hungry for Jesus. Walk in holiness, repentance, go to the cross. There's no new thing. But that's what has the power to transform. That's what we wept about so much. Because that's the thing that transforms lives. We're all for all the tools and everything and whatever. But it has to be Jesus in the center of it. That's where the power comes from. And so Marnie's like, we're not getting back till Thursday night. You got a message to preach? And I said, well, no, not really. But I knew the Lord was working stern in my heart. I'm like, I wonder if I can, it felt like I was supposed to do this, but I didn't know if I could do it. We've never really done this before. But we're just going to, all the stuff that I would normally share kind of at halftime, we just collected it all together. And some of this you've heard before. Some of this is brand new, so you've not heard it before. But just what's God up to? What's going on in America right now? Put your finger to the wind. What's going on? And this is not an exhaustive list. This is just what I came up with and scrounging around and listening to people that do know a little bit more. So the question is, what's going on? Let me frame what's happening now by kind of going backwards a little bit. And from 1870 to 1895, church attendance more than doubled from 13.5 million to 32.7 million as the general population grew from 38.6 to 69.6 million people. The net result was a 12% increase in churchgoers. So this is in the late 1800s. Because this growth happened, hold on just a second. I'm also reading 3 books on revival right now. So there's a lot of stuff in my head, in my heart. And so this stuff is interesting to me. Your eyes are glossing over, but we'll get there. The net result was a 12% increase in churchgoers. Because this growth happened in a short span of only 25 years, it became the largest religious shift in the history of our country until now. What we've witnessed in the last 25 years is a religious shift about 1.25 times larger, but going in the opposite direction. In that time, about 40 million people have stopped attending church. I want you to listen to this next paragraph because it's phenomenal in a bad way. More people have left the church in the last 25 years than all of the people who became Christians in the First Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, and Billy Graham Crusades combined. Adding to the alarm is the fact that this phenomenon has rapidly increased since the mid-1990s. And then this one, we've talked about this, you've heard this. This is from January 24th of 2024, so a year and a half ago. Just about 2 years. When Americans are asked to check a box indicating their religious affiliation, 28% now check none. A new study from Pew Research finds that the religiously unaffiliated, a group that's comprised of atheists, agnostic, and those who say their religion is, quote, nothing in particular, is now the largest cohort in the U.S. Researchers refer to this group as the nuns. Back in 2007, the nuns made up just 16% of Americans, but now are at 20%, almost a third of America in the beginning of 2024 said no God. I'm nothing. I'm a nothing. I may not just know what I think. I might be staunchly atheist. I might violently argue that there is no God. There can't be a God. And that is making up a large group. So what I want to do today is talk about well, really, in the last couple of years, let's tell stories about God's goodness. I think you're going to like this. Psalm 75:1 says, "We thank you, O God, we give thanks because you are near," right? We felt that this morning. It was a felt experience of what is a theological truth. God is near. "People everywhere do what? Tell of your wonderful deeds." Okay, one more. We'll get into the good stuff in just a second here. I'm setting the stage. Anyone ever heard of Jonathan Edwards? He was a revivalist preacher. He was kind of the voice of the first Great Awakening. There were many and lots of different nuances, but Jonathan Edwards was this preacher, and he said what I'm going to read to you. I'll sum it up, and then we'll read the big old English words that everyone is like, what? He said, "If you want to stir people's hearts to revival, talk about revival." And that's. I was talking with Marnie about this. I'm like, you know, I assume, and maybe wrongly, but I assume that you guys are doing what we do in the Snaza House, that every other text, every other podcast, every other thing that is something about what God's doing. And maybe that's not true. So we're doing this. So maybe you haven't heard all of these things. But in our house, I mean, Avery and Aspen are constantly, "Well, did you see this one? Did you see this one? Did you see this one? Dad, you got to look at this. God's just doing it everywhere. God's just doing all this stuff." And so we're constant. I can show you my phone. It's constantly this exchange of what God's doing. And I just assume that everyone's doing that. And maybe you're not. So if you're not, then this will be helpful for you today. But here's what Jonathan Edwards said. He said, there is no one thing that I know of which God has made such a means of promoting his work amongst us as the news of others' conversion. So the stories about other people getting saved helps people get saved. This has been owned in awakening sinners, engaging them to earnestly seek the same blessing, and in quickening saints. I know that's what he's saying is, when we talk about people getting saved, more people get saved, and people that thought they were saved get really saved. It has been found by experience that the tidings, or the telling, of remarkable effects of the power and grace of God in any place tend to awaken and engage the minds of persons in other places. So when we start hearing the stories of what God's doing in New York and in Boston and in California and in Texas and in Peaver, right, we want to see it happen here, right? It stirs our hearts. It stirs our imagination. It awakens our souls to the things of God. Psalms 145 says this, "Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation do what? Tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate. I will think. I'll ponder on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness." All right. So let's get to the fun stuff. I'm hoping today that after this, that your heart is just burning, that you're like, oh, I want to see that here, right? Everything that we talk about today is pointing to Jesus and what Jesus is doing. That's it. We're just pointing to Jesus. And I hope that it ignites in your hearts a fire to see that happen here. So, when was it? So this college in Wilmore, Kentucky, Asbury College, we listened to the podcast with Zach Zerini Green and whatever his name is, who was the guest preacher that day. And when he spoke, this is Asbury College here. And we listened to stories about the revival at Asbury College in the 1970s. And so some of the professors that had gone through the revival in the 70s are teaching at Asbury. And so what happened is, so there's this little town, population 6,000, if you've ever been through Wilmore, Kentucky. We've either been through it or right by it a couple years ago. So they're meeting, and it was a mandatory, well, I'll just put this up. February 8th, 2023, during a mandatory chapel service, 19 students stayed behind to pray. By evening, other college students from Asbury and other college students from other colleges showed up, and then the leadership, because we listened to this whole podcast of how this all kind of played out, and they're like, so the first night, they're like, "What do you think? Should we leave it open?" And they prayed about it, and they decided, all right, well, we'll just leave chapel open because no one was leaving. 19 kids stayed. He said there was 1,000 kids there, and you had to go there. He said they had hoodies up, they had earphones in, they were down looking at their phones, nobody's paying attention to anything. They dismiss, 19 kids stay back, and they don't leave. And so he had made a commitment. I watched part of his message, and he had made the commitment. He's like, if any of you need prayer, I'll stay here. You know, I got a meeting at 1:30. I'll stay here to pray with you if you need. And so they kept staying. And he kept staying because he had promised him he'd stay. And he wasn't really feeling much of nothing. And they just kept lingering, and they kept staying. And he called his 1:30 appointment, and he said, hey, why don't we reschedule? But in the meantime, why don't you come down here? And they did. And then about 4 o'clock, he was supposed to pick up his kids or something. He's like, honey, bring the kids down here. Something's happening. And so it turned into 16 days of between 50 to 80,000 people came to experience that outpouring of God's Spirit characterized by his presence, his holiness, his worship, preaching, and public confession and repentance. It was phenomenal. And he just said all along the way, we're like, hey, they would have meet with the teachers and they'd go, are you guys in? And they'd take a vote because they'd never done this before. And so they go, all right, we're doing another day. They would just keep it open. And people were coming in from across the globe, globally. People are coming in to this little town of 6,000 people in Wilmore, Kentucky, to see what God's doing. And no one could even really define what God was doing. They said it was horrible music. They said one of their worship leaders, that's a worship leader in a big church. Going to be a lot of this today, probably. Sorry about that. Oh, man. He said one of their worship leaders that worships in a big church that's wonderful. He said, I kind of, because it's been, what, you know, since 2023, February. He said, I kind of miss teenagers that don't know how to sing leading worship because it was the most powerful presence of God I've ever experienced. So after 16 days, they had to shut it down. They felt the Lord was leading them in that direction. They fasted and prayed. They said, "We're not a school. People have paid money to come to school. Like we're we're honoring God." Like it was a struggle. They made that decision, and their hearts were grieved. But in this 16 days, it felt like 10 months to me. Marnie and I were so close. We just about dropped everything and told Stephen to preach on Sunday, and we're going to go down to Asbury, but they made this decision to close it down, and they said that, like, we knew it was right, but we were grieving the loss of 2 weeks of what we'd experienced. And so what it did is it infused into it, because we'd heard those reports about the nuns, and not Catholic nuns, the no nuns, and we knew the church attendance was dropping. We knew that America was on a slope over the cliff to hell. Like, I don't know how else to say it. It's just secularism, atheism. And we've been in this deal a long time and been watching these trends and investing everything we can and not always seeing the results that we wanted to see. So Asbury for us was a flicker. And we went, okay, God, you are still doing something somewhere. Okay, all right, if you can do it there, do it here. Like, and so that it stirred hearts. And so right after Asbury happened, these guys happened. So this is called Unite Us. They were called Unite to begin with. I forget the gal's name. You'll see it in just a second. But Jenny Allen and J.P. Pakluda? I don't know. Whatever his name is. J.P. They call him J.P. These guys both have their own ministries. And we've talked about this before. You've probably heard about all this before. But I just want to stir your hearts this morning. These college kids raised their own money and put together an event, and they were calling it Unite. And they said, would you come to our school? And so this other gal, Tanya, I think her name is, Tanya Pruitt, I think is her name, she called JP and Jenny Allen, and they both have their own, he's a pastor and she's an evangelist and does, you know, seminars and stuff, and they have their own thing. And so they thought they were going to a youth night, you know, of a few hundred kids or whatever at a college. And they show up, and there's like 2,000 kids or something like that the first night. And they weren't doing it. The kids, here's what I want you to hear. The kids are doing this. So the teens on the college, the young adults on the college campus are organized. They're paying for it. They're raising money. They're making the phone calls and organizing this thing. So these guys come in and they're like, what? The what? Huh? And these kids are so hungry and they're like, oh, what do we do with this? And so they ended up, I forget what happened at the very first one, but, you know, just hundreds of kids got saved. They ended up, I think, walking, if it was that one, or I don't know if you remember any of that, Trisha. Like, they walked down to a fountain that was either on campus or in the town, and they were baptizing people in a fountain. And so what ended up happening is more kept calling. And I think right now they've got over 300 on the list that want, they can't make it to all of them. They both have he's a full-time pastor, Jesus, like, but they're just doing these things. And so on September 12th, 2023, right? So this is kind of, 6 months after Asbury? Thousands of college students gathered at Auburn University's Neville Arena with one singular focus to lift up the name of Jesus. What began in Auburn, Alabama, has continued to grow into a movement, reaching college campuses across the nation. Yeah, Tanya Pruitt, she said this. She said, I started getting contacted from students all over the nation saying, we're desperate. Our friends are committing suicide. Would you bring Unite to our campus? We've just been trying to keep up. We've been to 17 campuses. We've seen over 100,000 students gather. Over 15,000 have given their life to Jesus. And it just won't quit because there's this hunger. Because this whole generation has been sold the idea of you can be your own God and hedonism and secularism and hey, go enjoy the world. And they're just going, tried it, don't like it. Like, what? Like, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. This entire generation is crying out, there's got to be more. This is from a CBN article. So Pastor Jonathan Pakluda, a speaker for Unite Us, highlighted the struggles that students face. He said they're coming in with guilt and shame and STDs and unwanted pregnancies and abortions. They're carrying guilt even from last night, from pornography. And they come here and we're showing them the one, the only one who can really deal with their sin. It's Jesus Christ. It's so exciting. I put together some pictures from their website. Here's some pictures from their website. They're praying for people. They stand, they huddle together, and they confess their sins one to another. That's what they're doing in that middle huddle. They pray for one another. They confess sins. And they're getting free. They're confessing sins, and they get free. I'm all for programs. I'm all for the tools that God gives the church. And I love them, and I think we need more of them, not less of them. But I'm really for something like that when God breaks off in a second what would normally take someone 3 years to see freedom in their life from. There's repentance. There's prayer. There's forgiveness. There's baptisms. All the time there's baptisms. I don't know if you can see the bottom one there. They throw tarps in the back of a pickup truck. They do this all the time. That's how they baptize people. Not everyone, but like sometimes they have a tank or whatever, but man, they're just making it work. They're just making it work because kids are so hungry. And again, these kids they're raising their own funds for this. They're doing their own invitations. People are just showing up. So here's a couple of recent ones. I got a bunch of, I don't know what they're, Twitter's things. Got a bunch of those things on there I took screenshots of. I had to get Twitter because of Aspen because she sends all her stuff on that. Instagram, is that what it is? The Instagram. I don't even know what they're called. This is why we need Jesus. So this is this is like a week ago. It's 4 days when I clipped it, which was a couple days ago. So Tampa, what a night. Almost 7,000 college students filled the USF Arena. God moved powerfully. Close to 2,000 salvations, over 300 baptisms, a generation marked by Jesus. This wasn't just a moment, it was a glimpse of revival breaking out of Tampa. College students united. Lives forever changed. So beautiful. Here's another one. Unite Us. Last night, this was, so that'd be probably about 4 days ago. I don't know, whenever it was. Last night at the University of Tennessee, over 8,000 gathered, 500 salvations, hundreds baptized, countless lives changed forever. Jesus is moving in Gen Z, and this is just the beginning. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Yeah. Now I got a bunch of weird stuff for you. Not weird, but this is what are these? Instagrams posts, whatever they are. Jenny Allen, one of the speakers at Unite Us, did a little video, and she's like, God is just doing this stuff all over the world. Like, what are you seeing? So she just made an Instagram post. I'm going to put some of the comments from her Instagram post. Every preacher in the world that could hear me right now, they're going like, what? We don't normally do stuff like this. But I'm just trying to get an earthy feel for you guys to see what God's doing in America right now. You with me? Okay. Let's look at some, they're not tweets. What do you call them? Posts. I don't know. Let's look at some stuff. Let's look at some comments. There's some I have two together. So Mary Anala Lily here in Saratoga, New York. Some kids from Starting Point Church started a, whatever, breakfast and Bibles club in their public, in their public high school. First week, 53 students showed. Second week, 63. Third week, 80. Fourth week, yesterday, so that was a week ago, 101 students showed up. They had to get a new room to fit everyone, and 13 students prayed to receive Christ. We are giving out Bibles left and right. New York, New York, God is moving. That's just a comment from someone in New York, what she's experiencing. She, he, I don't know, whatever, them. JoeNell.12 says, also, over this summer, we had an outdoor worship night and baptism. My husband and I had the blessing of baptizing, what? 60 new believers. Just let that soak in for a second. 60 new believers. It was amazing. And in the Hudson Valley of New York, kicking that darkness in the Northeast, Echo Grace Church. Wow. Dizia 68 says, my husband pastors a church of about 250 people. We've been having so many salvations that we started an ongoing discipleship class in our home. 2 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit changed my husband's message Saturday night. When he made a call for salvation, three people raised their hands, and he asked them to come forward. And when they did, more and more kept coming. The altars were packed. He spelled altars wrong. Last week, he felt the Holy Spirit tell him that the harvest was ripe now during worship. He went to the stage and made a call for salvation. Eight more people came to Christ. We keep having to add baptisms to our schedule so that we can get them all baptized. God is moving. I don't know where that's at, but that's, you're seeing what I'm seeing. Praise God. Is this all right? We doing good? Okay. Haley Joy says, 100 people were baptized across our Milestone Church campuses this weekend. 100 people. 100 people were baptized this weekend. Stephanie Frankling Green says, I'm on staff with FCA in Tennessee, and we've had 130 new commitments to Christ in our local school huddles and Bible studies since September 10th. This is Tennessee, Franklin, Tennessee. 130 new commitments. Just sometimes we just get numb to the numbers. What if your child was one of those 130? Hold on, church. Come on. I don't want you to be churchy today. I want you to be like, dude, that's what I want you to be like. That's what this is today. This is, pretend we're at camp, okay? This is like, what is God doing? This is not a theological message this morning. This is what's God really doing in America. And I don't know. We're just getting a little tiny sliver of it. This is just what I could find, okay? And then I ran out of, I'm like, we got too many slides. Like, that's where we stopped, okay? Another one. Mrs. Amy Bryant. Look at that. Figured it out. I work at a Christian school in, oh, another Tennessee one, in Knoxville, Tennessee. We had in-school baptisms last year, and 62 kids were baptized. This year, at our middle school and high school retreats, 30 kids accepted Christ. Our church is, our church is averaging 700 more attendees per Sunday than this time last year. God is on the move. God is on the move. Hey, by the way, 700 more people are coming to our church every week this year than they were last year. 2003, there's this stirring in Asbury. We don't know what it is. And then it went away. And then Unite starts. We don't know what that really is. And there's just keeps on being this stirring. And there's more stirring. Mary and Lily. I did that one? Oh, sorry, I got two of them in there. Jesse Green, how about that one? Did we do Jesse Green yet? No, we didn't do Jesse Green. She says, I'm actually in awe at how many people are getting saved. It's hard to even really process. Last week at Salt Churches, 27 people got saved. It would actually be last week at Salt Churches. Just the at sign there. 27. Just giving the younger generation a chance to roll their eyes at me right now. 27 people got saved during street evangelism, then 29 people got baptized. Almost every day we're hearing stories of salvation from everyday believers going out and sharing the gospel. It's so cool. And that's what we see at the Snaza House. I mean, just it's there, Aspen and Avery are like, every day, they're like, and again. They're just like, and again. And there's another one. And there's more stuff. And have you seen this? And did you hear that guy? Did you hear about this band? Did you hear about them giving their life to Christ? And it's just constant, you guys. I don't know how I can, I'm just going to keep saying that until you throw me out of here. It's just all what we're so, in America, we're so used to one big thing that we lose concept for this, how does God move everywhere? We're used to God moving somewhere. How does God move everywhere? Well, I think because people have prayed for it for decades. And I don't believe for a second that any of this is happening without prayer being invested into it. That this has been sowed into, cried out for. It's so cool, Jesse says. Tate Katie says, our church had to start a service on Thursday nights for the 2,000 people overflowing because two large locations wouldn't hold them. So many baptisms, young, older, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The extra 2,000 people that won't fit. The extra ones that can't fit in this regular services. We had to make a new place for them. Man. So we were at NDSCS, where Taylor goes to school, watching him play football yesterday. And so this next one is interesting. Steven, you're going to have to help me out because I got nothing here. These guys. Ohio State football. Yeah. So these are all from the football team, and they did really good last year, right? Yeah. And they're doing really good this year? They're ranked number one. Okay. These are not, like, a lot is, like, here's what I'm saying. These football players, sometimes when you confess Jesus, You put your life, not in your life, but you put your reputation on the line a little bit. You know what I'm saying? These guys are in a number one ranked college football team, and they're the college football players. Here's what they say. No play we make on the field. No touchdown, no interception. Can compare to the kingdom of God, led by five current players, all wearing Jesus One t-shirts. The Ohio State football team hosted another Invitation to Jesus event on campus, and they think about 2,000 kids were there. It's like, it's as fast as you could Google a newspaper, you're finding something like this. And I think if you would just drive through and just talk to people, what's happening in your area, I think you would just keep finding things like this all over the place. And we've prayed for this, guys. We've prayed for this. We've longed for this. Because we know that every program, every textbook, every theology book, every Christian book, I love them. And I've got just about 1,000 books on my, no, just over 1,000 books on my Kindle. And if I could hand them out to everybody, it would be helpful. It really would be. But without an infusion from the Spirit of God to change hearts and lives, it's all just helpful stuff. It has to start with the move of God, personally, and we want to see that corporately. So we're like, God, we want to see more of that because we're drifting towards ugliness. Like, it's not good where we're going to. We need God to step in as he did in the First Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, the Businessman's Revival, on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Hernut and the Moravians and over to take a culture that was, you know, when you let pop a balloon, but it doesn't pop, it fizzles. And that's kind of what was happening to the church. And God cleaned up the church. A lot of people left the church that weren't all in. A lot of people had hidden sin in their life, and that's getting exposed. And now God's purifying a church, and he's like, let's do this thing. I don't know if God talks like that or not. But if I could imagine God talking, he's like, let's do this thing. Just watch. As you've sowed into this, as you've cried out for this, as you've been hungry for this, just watch what I can do. And then here, the Charlie Kirk Memorial. Now, I don't care what you think about Charlie Kirk or the political stuff. Just set that. I know it's difficult because this brings up a lot of emotions. It's difficult to set that aside for a second. But if you're going to be honest about Jesus and the gospel, that's what I'm talking about here. Just hold on a second. If you're going to be honest about Jesus and the gospel, everyone that knows anything about stuff is saying this has to be, if not the, it has to be one of, but probably the largest and clearest, those are two big differentiations, the largest and clearest declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ ever. Ever. Ever in history. Ever. Probably a couple hundred million people, and that was just kind of in the initial stages, heard a crystal clear declaration of what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. And that's phenomenal. And what's so phenomenal about this, that everyone that I'm listening to that wants to be as accurate as possible and not hype things up, what they're saying is it wasn't the big box Christianity kind of thing. It wasn't, God's good. You know, not that we say that all the time. So not that statement is bad, but it was a declaration of you need to repent and have your sins forgiven by Jesus and come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Like it wasn't just pointing to God, which I'm for. That's great. I'd rather have that than something else. But it wasn't that. It was beyond that. It was a clear presentation of an evangelical gospel message. And then Erica Kirk shared how she publicly, in front of however many million people, forgave the killer of her husband. And I don't care what your politics are, and I don't care what your reaction to political stuff. If we were just going to go to the scriptures and just see how to live like Jesus, forgiveness is what that's what needs to happen. And I don't know if you guys, again, some of this is repeat for a lot of you guys, but if you've seen Tim Allen's post, Tim Allen, Tim the Toolman Taylor, right? That guy. When Erica Kirk spoke the words on the man who killed her husband, that man, that young man, I forgive him. That moment deeply affected me. Tim says, I've struggled for over 60 years to forgive the man who killed my dad.
I can do it.
I will say these words now as I type. I forgive the man who killed my father. Peace be with you all. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the Jesus stuff. We're talking about coming to the cross. We're talking about dethroning myself as God of my own life, which is what 100% of you buggers are prone to do because you're part of the human race. That's what we all do. I want to worship me. Yeah, it's all God. It's all God. It's for his glory. What I love about all of these things is I've said a couple names, but they're not the stars. You know, Jenny Allen and JP, they preach at these things, but that's not what they ask them to come. And, like, do you know what I'm saying? It's just the five football players, we don't even have their names up there. And they're doing probably more on that campus than, you know, the 100 churches did in 10 years, not for lack of trying, but just like, there's no superstars here. It's Jesus. Jesus is the superstar. That's what I love. This is Josh Howerton is a guy that I was listening to this week, and he pastors in Rockwall, Texas. He said nearly 700 people were baptized on a Sunday service on September 21st. Was that two Sundays ago? 2025 at Lake Point Church in Rockwall, Texas. Hundreds more responded to the gospel message. Senior pastor Josh Howerton said he had never seen anything like today, describing people sitting on the chairs with Bibles in their laps because every seat was full. I watched a couple of his kind of podcasts talking through some of those services. He's like, dude, people were, they were just, he's like, all these college guys with their Bibles. They're all coming, just sitting on the stairs, because every seat in the place, every seat in the overflow, so they're just aisles and sitting on pianos, and like they just want to be there. They just want to be there. He said the first week after Charlie Kirk got shot, their church they went up in attendance by 2,000. The next week, they went up by 3,000, which would have been the 21st. And then the 28th, he said, I haven't got the data yet, but it was more than it was last week. So they went up by 3 to 4, who, I don't know. He didn't know. But there's these people just showing up. People are just coming to church. They're just showing up because God's stirring hearts. God's stirring hearts. This pastor, Darren, I can never, you know what, Stephen, you know how to say his name? Runzon. I don't know. Stephen and I have watched Pastor Darren for years now and love his ministry. And they met in a school for years, and we were so excited. What was it, about 2-3 years ago? A couple years ago? Maybe just less than two. They finally got a church in, what, it's California. Can't think of that town. Long Beach. Yep, Long Beach, California. And so I actually emailed him, and he emailed me back, and he said, oh, I've got a church in South Dakota to pray for now. And I just was asking him, I can't remember what question I asked him, but then asked how, you know, I said, we watch your church, you know, all the time. We're so encouraging to hear what God's doing. So they set up and tore down for 18 years or something like that, 17 years. So he said, we're up to like 3 services now, and we've fed about 300 some people in the church, so about 1,000 people in their church. So this is from last week. I just transcribed his message. Like, I was listening to his message, the church preaching message. And this is what he said during the message. And I thought, well, that's good. I need to just share that. He said, I don't know what's happening other than there's a lot of people starting to come here, which is great. He said, we've been doing this for 18 years. And I imagined a time when God would begin to draw people near to him. And he said, being in this moment where I'm seeing around the world the rise of the church, like for this week, stats that show that more Gen Z and millennials attend church than any other generation are alive right now. And they just they keep adding overflows because they can't fit. They're doing multiple services. He's like, we've never seen anything like this. We've never seen anything like this. A couple just little news clips here. This is from Fox News. It says, a faith resurgence. At a time when America is wrestling with a declining church attendance, this is from yesterday, from 8 hours, this is legit, from last night, a surprising reversal among Gen Z. So this is a news article from last night. Last night, church, this is current. They're reporting that Gen Z, once labeled the least religious generation, has pastors and researchers talking about the possibility of a new revival. People are just to let you know where I'm at theologically. We're a little hesitant to call it a revival yet, but we're going. This is what is it? It's an outpour. It's a movement of God. It's we've been doing this. You've been saved for 40 some years. I don't know that we've ever seen anything like this in our time. Yep, here's another. This is from CBS. This is 5 days ago. This is from CBS Mornings. How adults are, the title is, How Adults Are Rediscovering Christianity Through Baptism. And then the tagline up in the video part is, The Rise of Adult Baptisms and Faith in Gen Z Men. Whoo, yes. I know this is all over the place. Again, my goal this morning is to be like, come on, church. Like, holy macaroni. Did you see that? Like, that's the whole message this morning. Dude, did you see that? Like, that's all I'm preaching today. And I want you, as Jonathan Edwards say, to go out of here going, my heart was strangely warmed during that message. I want you to be stirred. I want you to dream again. Church, listen, look at me. I want you to dream again. We've all had seasons where, God could do anything, and we believed it. And then we get weary. You don't have to raise your hands, but anyone ever gotten weary? Whew. Right? And we're in a season now where I want you guys to not be innocent bystanders. I don't want you to just sit and occasionally see something and go, well, that's cool. That's not acceptable. That is not acceptable. I'll still love you, and you can still come here. But that's not acceptable for you to just be like, can't happen. I will forcefully reject that ideology. I want you to be involved, and I want you to be stirred, and I want you to be hungry, and I want you to, the title of this message is Lean In. This is an expansion on just what I wrote in my newsletter. Like, this is the time to lean in. Like,
whoa.
That's what I want your soul to do. And I want you to dream again. I want you to believe that God can really do this in America again. We would hear these little flickerings. We'd hear things across the globe. But God, what about here? I want to stir your faith. This is a quote, it's information. According to Barna Group's State of the Church 2025, this is really recent, 66% of U.S. adults say they have made a personal commitment to Jesus, a 12% increase in 2021. That represents nearly 30 million more adults claim Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior today than they did in 4 years ago in 2021. I don't know if you caught that or not. Today in 2025, according to the research, there's 30 million more Christians, not Christians. I'm a Christian because I'm not a Buddhist. No, Christians because I've repented of my sins and I've given my life to Jesus Christ. I'm an evangelical, gospel-believing Christian who stumbles, but I'm walking towards the cross of Jesus Christ every day. Those kind of Christians, according to this, I don't do the data. I'm just reporting on it. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but it's Barna. They've been around a long time, and they're usually pretty spot on. 30 stinking million more Christians, born again believers in the United States today than 4 years ago. Come on! Right? If that doesn't stir your heart, I'm quitting. It's not true. But if we've gotten, remember, we got so much information coming in all the time. We're just scrolling. We get numb to stuff like this. No numb hearts today. I want you to be like, wait a minute. I should be seeing more quizzical looks. Was there some Billy Graham crusade that like 10 million people got saved? Like, where did they come from? Came from everywhere. It came from everywhere, because God's stirring hearts. Last thing, I'm done with all the cool stuff. I felt we were praying here last night, and I felt the Holy Spirit kind of drop these three words in. And this is what I want to see in your hearts as we finish up. This is our last slide for today. Curious, courageous, and contagious. God wants your hearts to be curious, courageous, and contagious. What do I do in this time where you're telling me about all these things of God? I want you to be curious. I want you to say, what? I want you to not be so numbed by your everyday life that you're not interested in what God's doing across America. I want you to be really interested. Like, did you see that news story? You know what I heard? I don't know. You gotta be. The Holy Spirit wants your heart to be curious. You with me? Courageous. Whew. All right. What does that mean? If I start getting curious and I start seeing God moving, well, that's interesting to me. But what if I make it personal? Whew. What does that mean for my life? It can be scary. Going all in for Jesus. You need to have courage. And the Holy Spirit, guess what He provides? Courage. It's true. Look at Acts chapter 2. And then I want you to be contagious. We learned everything we needed to know about contagions 5 years ago. I want you to be a mass spreader. I want the fire in your heart to be contagious. I want your excitement about Jesus to be contagious. And I want it to happen the other way. I want you to get around people. Stand up, Brian. God's doing something in Brian's life. I want to be like, okay. Sneeze on me. You know what I'm saying. spiritually contagious. Like, one of the ways that you're going to get it is by going around people that got it. That's why we go to, as much as we can, we go to conferences, we try to be around people, we watch the stuff, like, I need to get it. I need to be contagious. Well, brother, if the Lord wants, no, come on, just get around it. Get around, get contagious, and let your own heart and your own excitement and your own fire for God be contagious for other people. Amen? Curious, courageous, and contagious. Hallelujah. Let's just pray for God to show up in amazing ways. Amen? God, we just pray today, God, as we close out this service, that you would show up in ways that that even end up in headlines, God. It's just not for the glory of anything but Jesus. We want to glorify Jesus in all that we do. We pray that you would move in our families, in our homes, in our marriages, in our kids, in our churches, God. We just pray for divine wisdom and supernatural power, for courage in our own hearts and lives. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.